What are some of the most misunderstood and confused aspects of Christianity, and how can we respond? Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion, is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. Clearly Christian is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Clearly Christian. That's a clip from the 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, a rather dramatic retelling of God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses and then Moses to the people. If you sit down and read the book of Exodus in chapters 19 and 20, how it actually occurred, you will find that there is a rather dramatic buildup to the giving of the Ten Commandments. The people, by the time God is done with trumpet blasts and lightning and thunder, fire and smoke, the people are trembling with fear and begging Moses not to let God speak to them any longer. They said, you go listen to him and you can tell us, but don't let him speak to us lest we die. And then come the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments isn't all that there is. There's also a covenant that follows those Ten Commandments that centers upon the sacrifice and the forgiveness that God's people would receive for breaking those Ten Commandments. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, God giving the Ten Commandments through Moses in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Chapter 19 is kind of a lot of very big buildup to the actual giving of the Ten Commandments. There's days of waiting and God warning the people, sending Moses back down and say, come back up to me, but don't bring anyone with you, lest I break out against them. Why all the buildup to the giving of the Ten Commandments?
I think that can be answered in chapter 19 with verse 5, because he says just before that, I bore you on eagle's wings and will have brought you to myself. And he's talking about their passage from Egypt through the Red Sea. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And, of course, it's in chapter 20 that God provides, and a lot of people call them the Ten Commandments. Actually, the term commandments only used in one verse. It begins by talking about the ten words of God, which is God's way of saying, here's how you need to respond to me having brought you to myself. And that's what sets us up for chapter 20 then.
The giving of the law is a terrifying event. Why is that?
It's terrifying because it's God who's going to be giving it. And he makes very clear in other passages of the Bible that Exodus 33, for example, 19 and 20, no one can see God's face and live because his holy glory would consume them. In fact, this is clearly speaking about God the Father, which no one sees. There's only one who has ever seen him, and that's none other than Jesus Christ himself. So the second person of the Trinity will be the one that we will look to give us a good understanding. Verse 24 is really interesting. The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, he's told them, set limits around the mountain. And the Lord said to him, now notice it's the word Lord, go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. Now, if it was the Lord that was the one we were to be afraid of, he went in and said, lest he break out against them. But this is Jesus referring to God the Father, who is going to be on the mountain. And this is a very important point, that Jesus therefore becomes our advocate to the Father. He's the one who teaches us the Lord's Prayer, beginning, Our Father who art in heaven. He's the one who says he's come down to do the will of the Father. And therefore, a lot of times, he's referred to as the angel of the Lord. And when that occurs, it's usually referring to the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And the interesting day is going to be after they've arrived at the mountain. It's on the third day that the Lord will come to you. And it's at that point that the people are not to touch the mountain or even go near it. Even an animal that touched the mountain would be put to death because of the glory of the Lord.
So God is appearing in his, although this is not his unshielded wrath, that would kill everyone, but he is appearing there in his full glory, in all of his majesty, insofar as he can, without being a direct danger to the people.
Well said. It reminds us of Isaiah 6, when Isaiah saw a vision of God the Father. Remember his response, woe is me, for I am an undone man. I'm a sinful person. He thought he was going to die because he saw a vision of God. But it was a vision. It wasn't really face to face. In fact, even when Moses is on Mount Sinai, this person of the Godhead, he can only see the backside. He cannot see him face to face. And so what you said was quite correct there.
The 20th chapter of Exodus deals with the commandments themselves, but it begins with the word, and some people actually count this as the first commandment, the numbering we'll talk about in a minute. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's how it actually begins. Why is that so important?
This is the difference between the Christian faith and every other religion in the world. In every other religion in the world, you would have a set of commandments in order to obey them to make the Lord your God. This God, the Holy Trinity, says, I am the Lord your God. Oh, you want proof of that? I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And I really like a sentence that the Growing in Christ material has. And I think we overlook this a lot of times. It's in part of the prayer. It says, Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave your holy law to Moses on Mount Sinai as the way for your holy people to live with you. Now, what does that mean? What that means, and I think they really got it correctly here, the Ten Commandments are first of all referred to, as I said before, as the Ten Words. And they are not in the imperative, which means these are commandments. They're instead a kind of a future indicative in the Hebrew. What does that mean? Here's what I like to say. They begin with, I am the Lord your God. In other words, there's nothing you can do to make me your God, and I make myself your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Then I like putting this next word in. Therefore, when you believe that, you shall have no other gods before me. And then the rest of the commandments continue in that way. Now, what does that mean? It's kind of like in a family situation. Let's say someone is adopted when they're 10 years old. And the parents will look at them and said, we are your parents. We adopted you. Therefore, you will have a free meal each day. Three free meals. You will have a bed. You will have clothes because we are your parents who brought you out of your orphanage. And therefore, the Ten Commandments are originally, in my view, ways in which, as the material says, God gives his law so the holy people know how to live with him. They become accusatory commandments once they start to disobey them. But at the beginning, they're actually what we call the third use of the law. We are now God's people. What does God want us to do? How do we respond to that? Well, you don't have other gods. You don't take my name in vain, etc. It's like a marriage. Once you become married, then you don't have other partners. Then you become, if you're the husband, like Christ to the church. And if you're the wife, like church to Christ. What happens is, of course, nobody can obey this perfectly because of the fall of man into sin. And that's why we would say today, God would tell us Christians, I am the Lord your God, and here's the evidence. I died on the cross for your sins. And when you realize that, you will not seek after other gods. You'll not take my name in an inappropriate way. You will remember my Sabbath day. So it is a real significance how people understand these 10 words. These are not ways in which the people can do things to make God their God. He's already become their God. It's a gift he's given them. They are instead an appropriate response. So I would put these commandments not in the sense of the second use of the law of accusatory. They become that. But in this sense, they're how do you live a sanctified life? Or as the CPH material puts it, you gave your holy law to Moses on Mount Sinai as the way for your holy people to live with you.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on this Tuesday afternoon, God giving the Ten Commandments through Moses in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 6 of chapter 20 about God being jealous after this.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Paul Lutheran, Council Bluffs, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, Louisville, Minnesota. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on God giving the Ten Commandments through Moses with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, right after the giving of the first commandment, there is an expansion on that commandment, but then in verse 4 of chapter 20, God says this, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." How do we understand those verses?
We can understand them, again, in one of the analogies I gave of marriage. Can you imagine getting married to someone, and then one of the spouses says, "Well, by the way, would you have a problem if we brought another person in to live with us and have the same kind of activities that married people do?" No, this is not a sinful jealousy. It is a righteous desire on the part of God for his people to be faithful to him. God prohibits, therefore, the worshiping of other gods, because it will ruin the relationship with you. For example, as your program has mentioned a number of times, the fastest growing group of a religious or non-religious nature in the United States are nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They have other gods. They don't believe in the true God. They don't have a proper vertical relationship with God. They find their gods in the horizontal. And sometimes they can be false idols like Allah or something like that. But a lot of time it's just the treasures of life, the riches of life. And they look to them as a way of making them happy, because nothing is more important than being happy rather than being faithful. And so in that sense, God is jealous, just like any married person would be jealous. This is not always a sinful item. It is a righteous item, saying that now that we're married, I expect you to be faithful to me and I will be faithful to you. And that's how God is using the idea that he is a jealous God.
The commandments are typically divided into two tables. I don't think we say that they're actually the two tablets, but sometimes it's depicted that way. A pretty obvious difference between the first three commandments and the other seven commandments. How would you describe that?
Yes. Our relationship to God is often found in the first three commandments. And by the way, when I do adult instruction, there's two numbering systems, as you know. We have the fourth commandment as honor father and mother. Others have what we would refer to as the third commandment, because they make another commandment out of not having idols and such. And I'll often ask them, okay, do you agree with the Lutheran numbering or the other numbering? And of course, they think I'm going to say the Lutheran numbering. The fact of the matter is, no commandment is numbered. There's just 10 commandments, and so it wouldn't be inappropriate to say that, well, the two covet commandments are only one commandment, etc. I don't think that we can argue with people about that. But in regard to your question, whether it's the first three or the first four, they deal with our relationship to God. So these are really important to understand. And the last commandments are about our neighbor. However, I want to make a point that I think is really necessary. I heard this from President Meyer of Concordia Seminary in a sermon he did on the Lutheran Hour, where he said it is wrong to think that the first three commandments are about how we worship God and the last seven are not about worship of God. He made a very clear case that all 10 are ways in which we worship and praise God by honoring our father and mother. And for example, on a day of elections, voting for whom we would feel are the best people to vote for as part of the fathers of the state. And he went through each one, thou shalt not murder, commit adultery, etc. These are also ways in which we worship God, because God began it by saying, I'm the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. When you understand this, this is how you worship me. So love for the neighbor is also part of worshiping God, but the first three commandments distinctly speak about God, his name, and proper worship.
The people's response to the Ten Commandments, there in verse 18 of chapter 20, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. What are they concerned about?
Well, they're concerned about the noise, etc., and thinking that, you know, God's going to kill them because of their sin. But Moses makes a point. He says, do not fear, for God, he doesn't say, has come to kill you, but has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. And so these commandments are a way in which we are hearing from a righteous and holy God words that our old Adam rarely agrees with, because that means we're going to lose all the fun in life if we cannot sin. But when we realize that, at least Israel, God is the one who brought them to the Red Sea, and last week he gave them water, he gave them bread, he gave them meat. But for us in the New Testament, he gave his only begotten Son on the cross for our sins. And so when you see Christ on the cross, your first response is fear. God considers our sin that serious that it demands a death. But the death is not ours. The death instead is Jesus Christ. And you remember Galatians 3, verse 10. Galatians 3, I think, is the best chapter for understanding law and gospel. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So when God said, in the day that you sin, death is the result, we fear that it's our death. But no, it's not. It's the death of his only begotten Son, and therefore all who trust, that is, faith alone, in the promises of the gospel, guess what? You will never die, as Jesus says to Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus.
What is not part of the Sunday school lesson, but we should note it, after the giving of the Ten Commandments, there are 11 more chapters of God essentially giving his people the covenant. And a lot of it has to do with the building, the construction of the tabernacle, and how proper worship ought to be conducted there, centered upon the sacrifices that were to be made there in the tabernacle and later the temple. Are we seeing here the Ten Commandments followed by, while they are instructions and laws about how to do these things, the way that the people would then access God's mercy and forgiveness through the blood of the sacrifice, pointing forward to Christ?
Yes, I think the last part you mentioned is excellent, because Hebrews makes clear that no ceremonial laws ever forgave sins, but they become a reminder to us that there needs to be one who will be coming, the Lamb of God, who will be sacrificed and by his blood make our garments white in our robes. And if you just take a look at like 22, there's a whole section on laws about social justice, about how we treat one another. I would say, in a sense, a lot of this is a kind of a small catechism explanation of what the 10 words from God, the Decalogue, were really about. Here's how you follow this. And remember, three chapters before this, God had used the father-in-law of Moses to instruct him to set up other elders to answer many of the questions the people had. They were too much for Moses, but he would do any of the difficult cases, and he had all these people help out. And one can only imagine that these chapters gave them real insight. Okay, if you truly believe God to be the one who has already become your God, here are the items that you need to follow.
Finally, the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children in this lesson about the giving of the Ten Commandments.
The law is, unfortunately, that we do not follow them. The gospel, and they have a beautiful chart here in the Sunday school about that each commandment is a gift from God. And therefore, when we break the commandments, we are throwing God's gift back into his face. Commandment one is God himself. Number two is his name. Number three is worship with him, a return to the Garden of Eden. Each one of these is really, really important. And we need to understand that our breaking of these words from God is a way in which we are rejecting the gift that he gives us in each of these statements.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series responding to Roman Catholic proof texts, talking with Professor Stephen Parks about Matthew 21:30 and a celibate priesthood. We'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, discussing a girl restored to life and a woman healed in Matthew chapter 9 with Pastor David Peterson. It is Christ himself who stands face-to-face with Moses on Sinai, who thunders in all of his righteousness and his glory, who speaks these 10 words, these 10 commandments, and reveals his will, not only for his people, but for all people. And it is Christ himself who will fulfill those commands in his perfect life and will be punished for our breaking of those commands in his death. He is our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution? I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.